Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Thursday afternoon. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is going to join us to talk about several issues, the ideology that produces men like Harvey Weinstein. Now, Harvey Weinstein's story broke, and if you were a Hollywood insider, which I assume none of you are, I'm not, you weren't surprised because you knew the stories. You'd heard the stories. We hear from producers and big movie stars and starlets all saying, yes, it was an open secret and a very thinly kept secret at that, that Harvey Weinstein was essentially a monster when it came to how he treated women. Well, how he treated a lot of people, but especially how he treated women. But most of us probably were a little bit surprised, slightly surprised. Not Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris. She was not surprised at all, and we'll find out why. We'll also talk with her about California adding a third gender to some of its official documents. The third gender is non-binary. I think it's intended to be a catch-all category for not male, not female, but something else. Will that satisfy the sexual revolution? And we'll talk about the medical risks of homosexuality. Dr. Larry Rast will join us a little bit later for part four of our series with him. On the conservative Reformation, we'll talk about the place of the Trinity in the Reformation as a teaching and as part of the Reformation's worship as well. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will join us to talk about the 500th anniversary of the Reformation from the perspective of the second largest Lutheran church body in America. A bit of a bookend to our interview with Bishop Eaton of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest Lutheran church body in the United States. We'll be talking with Pastor Matt Harrison about that. Then we'll be discussing obscure Lutheran saints. Matthew Block will join us. He's editor of the new book, Saints of the Reformation. We'll talk about a few people you haven't heard. Plus, we'll discuss why it is Lutherans still have remembrance of saints, both those ancient and those slightly newer. We'll be talking about those obscure Lutheran saints. Begin a little of a conversation with him a little bit later here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about an ideology that produced men like Harvey Weinstein, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris, founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute, and author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
I think people inside Hollywood were not shocked. People outside Hollywood were mildly shocked. You say you were not surprised to hear about Harvey Weinstein.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't follow Harvey Weinstein. I don't know him from a post hole. But the fact is that somebody would have this type of scandal, that there would be people like this having a pattern of systematic abuse of women, and everybody around them covering it up. No, doesn't surprise me in the slightest. This is what alpha males want to do. This is what alpha males try to do. And if you've got a society and a culture and an ideology that allows you to do that, then by golly, that's what they're going to do. So whether it's politics or the media or sadly even the churches, you can get this kind of outcome. So no, I'm not surprised.
You write about the grand narrative that is the backbone of the sexual revolution. It is its gospel so to speak, and it leads to Harvey Weinstein's.
Well, yes, when I talk about the grand narrative, I think people would recognize it as such. I can't remember it word for word, but it goes something like this. Sex without a baby is an entitlement. I'm entitled to do what I want with only the consequences that I want. And it's everybody else's job to minimize the inconvenience that I experience from having the sex life I want because I'm entitled. And that is the grand narrative. And contraception backed up by abortion is supposed to deliver that to us. And I think that explains why guys like Harvey Weinstein are so committed to the Democratic Party, which is, of course, the party of abortion on demand and contraception at zero price, you know. So it fits together, the ideology and the behavior and the political support for that ideology. It all fits together. So, no, there's nothing surprising about it.
Well, talk about that political support. You make the case that really this is of a piece. His support for, I think we can safely say, the party of the sexual revolution, where that narrative runs the day, especially with respect to sexual ethics and abortion. How was he? How big a supporter was he?
Well, according to one of the business sources that reported on this, it was over $2 million. If you take his own money plus the so-called bundling money that he gave to Democratic candidates. Bundling means you lean on your friends and get them to contribute, I guess, is what it amounts to. He was a big bundler for Democratic causes, okay? And so between his own money and what he leaned on his friends to give, it was over $2 million. So, you know, that's not chump change. That's a guy that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Nancy Pelosi, they're going to pay attention to him. When he calls, they're going to take his call, you know? And I could call any Politico any day of the week, all day long, and they're not going to take my call, you know. So that dovetails, I think, with the idea that the big people, the people with money, they're the ones who are going to be the tail wagging the dog. So the millions of union workers and the black working class people and those kind of people who vote for the Democratic Party, their interests are probably not the same as Harvey Weinstein's. And the Harvey Weinsteins of the world are going to get more attention than the average guy. And so that means those average guys were available to be picked off by an alternative candidate, which I think is that's how Donald Trump won. Obviously, he picked off people that ordinarily would have voted Democratic. And so that's understanding it through this lens, seeing the fact that the rich guys support the sexual revolution. That explains a lot of what we're seeing around us, not just the scandal, but also a lot of the politics that go on.
Talk about this, you call it a belief that people in general, and you mentioned the UN and some of its resolutions, a belief that people in general are entitled to sex.
Yeah, it's astonishing. It's astonishing. This is a piece that I put on Crisis Magazine, and people can also see it at the Ruth Institute's Facebook page, but Crisis Magazine is a Catholic publication. I publish that frequently, but it's also on our Facebook page. Yeah, I quote it directly from UN documents saying they define reproductive health. What is reproductive health? It's the state of well-being associated with being able to have, quote, a safe and satisfying sex life. And I ask myself, every time I read that, I think to myself, well, now, gee, who's responsible for providing me with a safe and satisfactory sex life? You know, it obviously cannot be a right like any other kind of right that we're used to thinking about. But the UN and people like them take this thing very, very seriously, that everybody's entitled to a safe and satisfying sex life. And so if you take that idea and you take it seriously, what are you going to end up with? Who thinks like that? Who thinks they're entitled to sex? Well, the rapist thinks he's entitled to sex. And that's the straight line that I draw from the ideology of the sexual revolution to Harvey Weinstein and, while we're at it, campus date rape and all of the other issues that we're facing of truly toxic sexuality.
Okay, so just to connect the dots there, we're talking about a man who has been accused of rape. I think the number of accusations, while innocent until proven guilty in the United States, the number of accusations are fairly damning in and of themselves. A man who's been accused of rape, who also happened to support politically a party that pushes the grand narrative of entitlement to sex.
Yep.
It's not hard to see how this fits together.
That's exactly right. And you know, it's interesting that some Democrats, it took them a while to distance themselves from him, from Weinstein and his money. And the Democratic National Committee said that we're going to donate the money to women's charities. Well, the women's charities that they donated to were all about charities, so-called charities, that help get women elected to political office, pro-choice women elected to political office. Wait a second. You know, to me, these women are just allowing themselves to be used because they've bought into the storyline that they are better off if they can eliminate unwanted pregnancies, not realizing that that's only true if you're in a world where everybody thinks they're entitled. But actually, women in particular would be better off if we were living in a world where nobody's entitled. Everybody has to earn the right to have a sex partner, and you earn the right to have a sex partner by being deeply committed to another human being such that you marry that person. That's how you earn the right to have sex. And presumably it's safe and satisfying if you're married, but the alternative narrative is, as a whole, not good for women. And that's what these women who want to be elected to Congress as pro-choice candidates, that's the part that it's hard for them to get past and to see that.
One other question before we take a break on this situation. What do you make of the various degrees of mea culpas being dished out through PR offices from Hollywood bigwigs, from politicians, from movie stars? The starlets, often the case, the guy really got around, seemed to be the victim here, but there are an awful lot of male actors out there saying, yeah, I knew, but I should have known better. What do you make of the mea culpas going around from Hollywood and the political side?
Yeah, I, you know, Todd, who can take it seriously? You know, I'm sorry because I got caught. That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, maybe they really are sorry. Maybe they've been agonizing for years over when to open their mouths. But, you know, the plain fact of the matter is that if somebody had blown the whistle on this guy a long time ago, a lot of people could have been spared a lot of grief. But nobody would do that. So, you know, no, I can't take them too seriously as being truly contrite. You know, is their purpose of amendment really fine? It really firm? You know, are they really going to avoid the near occasions of sin in the future? You know, I'm having trouble buying that.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute is our guest. When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject of California inserting a third gender option between male and female, the two real genders, this one being non-binary. We'll find out what it means. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founder and president of the Ruth Institute, author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues, Etc., November 2nd through the 6th. you'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our guest is Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute. You can meet and hear her making the case against the sexual revolution at next month's Issues Etc. Fall Making the Case Conference in Houston, Texas. Jen will be joined by Mark and Molly Hemingway, Rod Dreher, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, and Dr. Scott Murray. Attendance is limited to 400. It is filling up. Registration is $120 and includes three meals. Child care is free for children ages 1 through 12, thanks to the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. You can register today at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston. Jennifer, tell us about California's new gender option. I think it's called non-binary. Where are we finding this?
Well, yes, but before I do, I have to say I'm so looking forward to seeing y'all in Houston in November. That is going to be, it's going to be so fun, and I really want to meet a lot of the listeners. So, yeah, now, back to California. Oh, must I go back to California, Todd? Do we really have to go there?
You finally escaped at some point, didn't you?
I did. You know, I live over here in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I tell people I'm a refugee from California, and oddly enough, I never have to explain what I mean. Everybody always knows exactly what I'm talking about. And this issue you're bringing up is a prime example, you know, of why normal people are dumping California, trying to escape California. What non-binary means, Todd, is this is the catch-all phrase that covers all of the queer, genderqueer questioning, trans man trans, male to female, fail, you know, all of the different options that Facebook has, that I don't know, it's up to 57 now. So all of them, except for male and female, are all non-binary, okay? So, and the reason that non-binary word is important, your listeners should understand what this non-binary word means. The current thrust of the sexual revolutionaries is to say that we oppose the gender binary. We oppose the idea that there are only two genders, okay? So that's the term they use. Not, I oppose the binary, or I'm non-binary. And on college campuses, sometimes you can see kids with badges that say that. I oppose the gender binary, right? And it's like the new form of virtue signaling that the radicals have created for themselves. And so now in California, you do not have to check off male or female. You can check off non-binary if you want to be something else. I guess they didn't want to put 57 different categories on there for you to pick from, so they narrowed it down to just those three.
So the direction that the state of California chooses for itself is very often a bellwether for movements in other states, that this is easy in California. I mean, activists can make this happen by making one phone call in California, probably, or greasing one palm. The other states are harder. Talk about that.
Well, California, I mean, I wouldn't say what you just said, because it's not, but it is true that the sexual revolutionaries are able to get what they want in large measure. And that's because the Democratic Party has veto-proof majorities in both houses of Congress of Sacramento. And so, therefore, that whole caucus, I guess you could call it, the LGBT caucus is a pretty powerful caucus in Sacramento. They can get what they want without any meaningful resistance. And so this is where we are. I mean, they've already had three kids on, that children can have three parents on their birth certificate. They already have removed the terms husband and wife mother and father from the legal code. Okay, I can't remember if we've talked about that on this program, but that's one of the things that I'll say here to the good people in Louisiana about why I left California. I woke up one day and discovered I no longer had a husband. Now, nothing untoward had happened to Mr. Morse. It's just that the word husband and wife had been removed from the legal code. And everybody has a generic spouse, a generic partner. Children don't have mothers and fathers. They have generic parents. See? And so that's the end game of the sexual revolutionaries. And that's what people need to understand. There is nothing harmless about this. It may sound crazy, but it is not crazy. They are absolutely deadly serious to remove every vestige of maleness and femaleness out of the legal code and out of society. And one of my articles or posts somewhere, I found somebody, I quoted somebody exactly saying that, except, you know, that this is a great step towards the day when we no longer have gender at all. That's where they're headed. And that's what people need to understand. This is not, they're not playing around. These people are not kidding.
Make the case, if you would, for our listeners that it really, I mean, people say, come on, it's DMV documents and all these other things that people fill out once and then forget. Why is it important that these categories, that the sexual revolution succeed in this particular venue, that is these categories on state and official documents?
Well, because words matter, and words are supposed to correspond to reality, not the other way around. You know, we're not supposed to twist reality to fit words. Words are supposed to have some correspondence with what's truly there. And the fact is that we human beings, we are mammals, okay? I hope nobody's going to argue with me about that. We are mammals. Mammals have two genders, male and female. This is basic definition, you know, of what it means to be this type of creature that we are. And we as Christians believe and know that male and female, he created them. This is part of God's good creation, to create us as the type of being that reproduces through an act of love and through an act of coming together of complementary differences, okay, of the male and the female coming together in an act of love and bringing forth new life. This is the design of the Creator. It is not a cosmic injustice. And that's what the revolutionaries on the right and on the left, Todd, we can't just leave this with the Democrats or the liberals. There are plenty of conservatives who do not know what to think about male and female, right? Because we are unequal and we can never be made exactly equal. And so that is why the true revolutionary has their sights pinned on attacking the male-female binary, right? Because it represents to them inequality, and it represents to them dependence, that we are dependent on each other in order to do this wonderful thing of bringing forth new life. You cannot do it at home alone. You have to have the cooperation of another person of the opposite sex, one way or the other, you know. And so that's why it is so important. And we cannot give an inch on this topic. There are only two sexes. There's only male and female. And people who have some kind of biological condition, a medically diagnosable condition, that does not in any way undermine the reality of male and female.
There is a book sitting in a stack of books behind me titled The Health Hazards of Homosexuality. You have written recently about this book and how the media is portraying it. What does it have to do with the Values Voter Summit, Jen?
Oh, this is hilarious. Oh, I'm so glad you asked me about this because, okay, so Donald Trump went and spoke at the Values Voter Summit. And, of course, the liberal media, the mainstream media, they got them all, you know, their underwear in a twist. What is that expression? Forget the expression. You know what I'm talking about. Got them all upset that he was there. So they went over there looking for something mean to say about it. So in the tote bag that they give all the people, they find this flyer. It's an advertising flyer for this book that you have on your shelf, and I happen to have on my shelf too, The Health Hazards of Homosexuality. And the people who wrote it, a group called Mass Resistance, they had a table at the Values Voters Summit. So the geniuses at BuzzFeed, the geniuses at NBC put two and two together and say, oh my gosh, Donald Trump is speaking at a place that says there are hazards to homosexuality. I mean, he couldn't even get the name of the book correct. The name of the book is not The Hazards of Homosexuality, The Health Hazards of Homosexuality, okay? So there are these hysterical articles written about how terrible this book is and how terrible it is that Donald Trump went there and so on and so forth. And these articles, first of all, ignore the fact that President Trump probably did not go through the tote bag before he went and gave a speech. I mean, I'm pretty sure he didn't do that. But number two, these articles did not in any way contradict a single syllable in that book. That book goes on and explains, look, the CDC can show you that there are elevated risks associated with homosexual activity. Men who have sex with men are at greater risk of getting HIV and syphilis and anal cancer and a bunch of other stuff, right? And no one bothered to deny any of that. Instead, they spend all their time saying, oh, mass resistance is a hate group. Oh, the Family Research Council, which sponsored Values Voter Summit, they're a hate group. Oh, Michelle Critella, who wrote an endorsement, she's a hate group. You know, that's all they have to say. It's hysterical. You can tell I take this very seriously.
Well, that's probably because you have been classified as a hate group as well, haven't you?
Have you been classified as a hate group?
No, I looked. We're not on the map. No, unfortunately, we're not on the map.
Come on. You guys need to up your game here, baby. You know, come on. Let's get with the program. Yeah. Yes, I take it very seriously that I'm a member of the hate group. As you can tell, I am a very seriously dangerous person and just hate everyone I encounter.
So to wrap this up, this book is simply a book of the demonstrable facts about the health hazards of homosexuality, and I seriously doubt anyone at BuzzFeed is going to actually open up the book and read it. Why? We come back to the grand narrative. Why won't they?
Well, because the grand narrative depends on certain questions never being asked. Okay? So if it's really true that there are risks or downsides or hazards associated with all of this sexual activity that we're all entitled to, safe and satisfying, mind you, if there are actually health risks attached to it, that kind of undercuts the grand narrative, doesn't it? Right? And so there are certain questions that cannot be asked, certain opinions that cannot be expressed, and therefore people who insist on bringing up these topics have to be marginalized in some way. It has to be, what they have to do is take me and Dr. Critella and the guys at Mass Resistance, they have to take us and prop us up next to guys wearing white hoods and swastikas, because that's the only way they can avoid the subject of what's in this book and is it true? See, because if it's true what's in that book, it would just upset the whole narrative. So they changed the subject by making the subject being me and Dr. Critella and Dr. Paul Church and all these other people that they hate. That's the subject. That's the subject, whether we're bad people. The subject is not, are there in fact health risks attached to casual sex? Gay sex, straight sex, you know, we've talked on this program before that casual sex has certain hazards associated with it, particularly for teenage girls, increased risk of depression for teenage girls. We must never allow facts like that to interrupt the grand narrative. And so this is the strategy that they've developed, is to change the subject whenever anybody brings up something that undermines the storyline.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute, and author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. You can read two of her latest columns, The Medical Risks of Homosexuality and the Values Voter Summit, and The Toxic Ideas That Enabled Weinstein and Others, right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jen, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
On the other side of the break, we're going to take up our series on the Conservative Reformation, part four this time, the role of the doctrine of the Trinity in the Conservative Reformation. Dr. Larry Rast of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. Starting October 1st, this twofold mission becomes even more pronounced. During October, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, the Concordia Historical Institute. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church.